violation of the Eighth Commandment has sort of seeped its way into our culture. There are a lot of ways that we're violating and breaking the Eighth Commandment, and maybe you have become a little bit accustomed to it or immune to it.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome, friends. This is Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, the senior pastor of New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, it's just such a joy to be able to win people to Christ and raise disciples and plant churches. And as we look back over almost 30 years of ministry, we've seen God do some really exciting, incredible things. I love being a pastor on this team. I love the way you lead us with vision and grace and empower leaders and open doors. It's been, for my wife and I, one of the highlights, seriously, highlights of our life to be on this team, to be serving God together. And there's others that wonder if there's room on the team for them, if this is the kind of place that's open to other leaders coming in. Tell us about the vision and tell us about the open doors.
Absolutely, Josh. And it's been great to know you since you were 16 years old or younger. So, yeah, we have a vision to see the city of Chicago saturated with life-giving communities of faith. As we cooperate with other churches, because there are a lot of great churches in Chicago that we're joining forces with. But we do that two ways. One, we plant new churches, and we've done quite a few of planting of new churches, about 12 or 13 new locations that we've planted around Chicago. But we also do restarting of historic churches that are struggling. And God has given us a beautiful opportunity to restart about 12 churches. And these are churches anywhere from Baptist to EV Free to Mennonite to Bible churches that at one time were thriving places, houses of worship, but because of changing demographics or transition in leadership, find themselves really struggling to survive in today's environment. And we have a unique approach in which we actually join those churches. We celebrate their history. We adopt their history. We celebrate their past. And we look at ourselves as being a new chapter to an old history. So we don't close them down. We just restart them. And that's why we use the word restart them, to reach this generation. And so if you are interested in, and maybe you're a part of a church that needs a restart, or maybe you're a young leader out there that feel like, hey, you have a call to church planting, we would love to hear from you, because we are launching and starting at least 5 to 6 new congregations every year. And if you want to be a part of it or have a call to church planting, or you're part of a church that needs to be restarted, please get a hold of us. And you can go to our website at newlifechicago.org and check out the ministries page, because we have more information about restarts and church planting on those pages.
That's right. We would love to meet you. We need to partner together to see the greatest impact. And so as you go to newlifechicago.org, click on ministries. As Pastor Mark said, scroll down. If you'd like information on being a church planter, click on that button, New Life Cities. If you'd like information on restart, click on that. And there you'll see a few other opportunities as well. But those are the two we want to highlight today. We would love to meet you.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everybody. Pastor Mark continues his current series entitled Rock Solid Living today, as we are exploring the Ten Commandments. Today we're in the book of John chapter 10, as Pastor Mark explains to us the small, petty ways that we may be guilty of breaking the Eighth Commandment. Let's listen to Thou Shall Not Steal.
It's a real simple commandment. In fact, I think that most people agree that breaking this commandment is absolutely wrong. Especially if you have been on the receiving end of someone breaking this commandment against you. It's a very simple commandment. It says, thou shalt not steal. Some of you are already breathing a sigh of relief. You say, "Woo, I'm off the hook this week. I'm not an armed robber. I don't hijack cars. I've thought of robbing a bank to pay my mortgage, but not, I have never done that. And so I think I'm off the hook this week." And maybe you are. But I'm going to get into some principles that I think that if we fully grasp this, it'll affect all of our lives. And you may have broken the Eighth Commandment many more times than what you think you have broken the Eighth Commandment. I don't know if you've ever been robbed, if someone's ever taken something from you that wasn't theirs to take. Raise your hand if someone's ever stolen something from you, ever robbed something from you. And how about it? Doesn't it feel like when someone takes something, there's an indignation, this violation, this how could you? I've been robbed a few different times. I think of more recently when we were starting our Humboldt Park campus in West Humboldt Park. I drove my car there and I was in a hurry to get to a staff meeting, and so I forgot to take my GPS off my, I forgot to hide it. I know you're saying, hey, pastor, it's like you're dangling candy in front of people. Okay. So I forgot. And about an hour and a half later, when I came out to my car, my window was bashed. My GPS was taken. And I remember thinking, goodness sakes, who's the punk that did this? I mean, it was not only the GPS, but it was the fact that I had to clean all the glass out of my car, and then I got to go find a place to replace the window, and, you know, a couple $100 in the GPS, a couple $100 in the window, I got to pay out of my own pocket. And there's this sense of, hey, here we are in the neighborhood trying to do something good, and you're breaking windows. I remember another time years ago when I was walking down the street of another city, a big city, and I was walking with my wife, and I noticed that there was a hand. I looked down, and I noticed there was a hand in my wife's purse. So I looked back real fast, and about a 16-year-old kid was looking at me like this. He ran, and I chased after him. You say, well, what would you have done if you'd have caught him, Pastor? I don't know. I'd have to pray for discernment in the spirit to do what to do, but I figure I'd know what to do. And I chased him as fast as I could, and he ran into a subway and got lost there. But I remember the indignation. He didn't manage to steal anything, but I was livid. It's like, hey, how can you put your hand in my wife's purse and try to take something that's ours? If you've ever been robbed in any way, it just sort of stirs that up inside of you. There's been a couple times, actually, that we have had break-ins into the church. One on the north side, the Lakeview. And one time we had a break-in here at this Midway building as well. And you think robbery's bad. It even stirs me up even more to think, how could someone get into the house of God and try to steal the things of God? I mean, you have to have a seared conscience, really, to go that far. But I believe that the violation of the Eighth Commandment has sort of seeped its way into our culture. And although you may never break someone's window to rob a GPS or put your hand in someone's purse, I believe that there are a lot of ways that we're violating and breaking the Eighth Commandment. And maybe you have become a little bit accustomed to it or immune to it. It's like the man that was complaining to his wife and said, hey, did you know that the cleaning lady that we hired, I caught her stealing some of our towels in our house? And the wife said, well, which ones? And he said, well, the ones that have the Holiday Inn and emblem on them, those. You know, when it's done to us, it's extremely upset about it. But sometimes when we do it, we just kind of chalk it up to, well, no big deal. It's not really a big thing. So I understand when you are trying to guard against robbers. I understand the fellow that put a sign out in his house that said, keep out. This house is protected by a pit bull with AIDS. I mean, I understand why someone would put a sign out like that, because none of us want to be robbed. And as I was thinking about the Eighth Commandment, and I was thinking about why it's such an important commandment and why God feels so strongly about it, I started thinking, all of the commandments have root in the heart of God. They reflect the character of God. And here's the thing about God. God is a giver, not a taker. The atmosphere, the kingdom of God, is generosity and giving. The atmosphere, the kingdom of darkness, is taking, destroying, and killing. In fact, it's what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. You've all heard the verse. But Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was contrasting the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light. And in John chapter 10, Jesus says, he says, the thief, referring to Satan and the world culture, he says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. Think about that. All that has to do with taking something that is not ours. To kill means taking someone's life that's not yours to take. To steal means that you take someone's property that's not yours to take. And to destroy means that you actually obliterate or demolish something that someone else has built. That's the culture of the kingdom of darkness. Kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus says, but I have come to give. To give what? To give life and to give it to overflowing. So anything that's part of the culture of darkness, it takes. Anything that's part of the culture of life, it gives, and it is generous. Listen, if you're in a relationship and all they do is take, 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 let me tell you, there's a kingdom of darkness hovering over that relationship, not the kingdom of light. If you find that your life is all about taking and not about giving, then I'm going to guarantee you, you're operating under the kingdom of darkness value system and not under the kingdom of light value system. I believe that that's why this idea of stealing is so powerful. And I believe that many of us are violating the eighth commandment, and we think that it's small and unimportant and petty. But in reality, what we're doing is we're allowing the seeds of the kingdom of darkness to be sowed into our life, and eventually it'll reap destruction and give the enemy a foothold in our life to take away the blessing of God and to give curses to our life. And I want to talk to you about that for a minute, because I believe that some of us may be living under a sense of curse. And we don't even know it because we've allowed curses into our life, because we're violating the eighth commandment and allowing the kingdom of darkness to hover over our lives rather than the kingdom of light.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Thou Shall Not Steal, which is from our series called Rock Solid Living. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John chapter 10 and Ephesians chapter 4.
I want to talk to you for a moment about what I would call camouflage stealing. Most of us know that, hey, it's wrong to get a pistol and go to a gas station and hold up the teller and ask for the cash. And the majority of people in this audience would not do that. I say the majority because I don't know all of you, but I would say the majority would not do that. However, there's a lot of us that when it comes to smaller violations of the eighth commandment, we'd have no problem with it. And let me just enlist a couple of the things that I know about our culture. And because we live in this culture, we're influenced by our culture. Okay, so let's start with property theft. This is when we take something that is not ours. For example, you're at the job, you need to do some work around the house, your job seems to have extra tools, no one seems to be using them. You're going to return them. I'm just going to borrow it for a few months. After a while, you have a whole toolkit full of borrowed tools. They tell us that 60% of inventory lost last year in America was attributed to employee theft. That amounts to billions of dollars. Not millions. Yeah, you heard me right. Billions of dollars. The United States department store pilferage exceeds $4 billion a year. One estimate says that out of every 52 customers, a day, one carries away at least one unpaid for item. My daughter, while she's in college, she's working at a retail store, and she comes back frustrated oftentimes saying, "Dad, you wouldn't believe how many people are stealing or trying to steal clothes." Teenagers that come in, rip off the tags, and are just trying to take things out of the stores. You say, "Oh, those teenagers." Well, it's not just teenagers, it's adults. It's even superstars. Lindsay Lohan? I mean, seriously. Seriously, you can't afford, and so you have to rob? I mean, it's been part of our culture, so accepted. One economist said that if America's theft stopped, then America would be able to balance the budget in 3 to 5 years. All right, so that's property theft. What about employee theft? Employee theft, employees admitted to an average of 20% of their time at work goofing off. That means if 20% of your time at work is goofing off, that you're really only putting in a four-day work. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's not really theft, is it not? If you're being paid $13 an hour to do something and 2 hours you don't do that, I think you just stole the company $26. I mean, they're paying you for a service. When you're not doing the service, then you're actually robbing your employee from the time that they say, "Well, everybody does it." That's not the point. The point is that when you're goofing off and not doing your job with excellence, that you are actually engaging in robbing your employer from something that he's paying you to do. 50% of all working Americans admit to calling in sick when they're not. Nice day out, beautiful day to hang out, bike riding, go down to the beach. "Hello, I don't know what I'm feeling, pretty sick today." Amazing how quickly we get cured. Coming to work late, leaving early, having someone punch in the card. And now, actually with social media, those of you that work with computers, companies are having to really put locks and having to monitor the time that employees are spent. And so you spend 2 hours on Facebook when you're supposed to be inputting data into a computer. Let me tell you something, that you are robbing your boss of time that he's paying you to do. What about debt theft? That means that we borrow something and then we decide, "Hey, I can't pay the debt off, so I choose not to pay it." The Bible tells us in Psalms 37:21, "The wicked borrow and do not repay." What about child support theft? You said, "Pastor, you're really meddling a little bit now." Okay, let me meddle. Listen, having alimony and child support duties or responsibilities and trying to get out of it by getting a job that's not registered or being paid just in cash so that you can get out of child support, let me tell you, that's one of the worst kind of thefts in my book. Because you say, "Well, Pastor, you don't know, she's got a lot of money. She's just trying to milk me." Listen, I've been there when single mothers don't have food on their table to pay. I've been there when they're saying, "Hey, he works and I haven't got a penny for 5 years." Hey, to be honest with you, I've been there when some woman calls me up. Guys, don't let this happen. I've been there when some random woman calls me up and says, "Hi, you don't know me, I'm so-and-so, but my ex goes to your church. And I know he's getting all godly and all that stuff, but let me tell you, he hasn't paid one penny of child support for 5 years. Guys, I don't want to hear that. I'd rather hear someone call me up and say, "Hi, you know, my ex wasn't paying child support for 5 years, but after he started going to your church now, I've started to get checks." That's what I want to hear. Woo! Insurance theft, we could talk about that. Okay, some of you are wiping your brow saying, Pastor, I've missed every bullet you've sent out. I'm dodging them. You haven't hit me one time. Okay, let me throw out another one that's so widespread. Pirating. Oh, you say, I've never been a pirate. No. I'm talking about pirating movies, CDs, songs. Oh, don't get petty, Pastor. No. I'm talking, the law says that is illegal robbery. Someone is losing income off of that. You pirate a movie? You pirate a CD? You pirate an MP3? It's called stealing. And it may seem very small in your book, and you say, well, that big music industry, they have plenty of money. I got a lot less money than they have. But I'm going to tell you, it's not about the pettiness of the theft. It's about the seeds that you are sowing into your life by violating the principle of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Let me tell you what the Word of God says about this. Notice that I believe that stealing, even camouflage, or what we would call petty stealing, I believe it stops the flow of God's blessing and favor on our life. And do you really want the favor of God to stop flowing in your life because you pirated 60-cent song CDs that someone else downloaded off of iTunes? Listen to what it says in Zechariah chapter 5, verse 3. This curse that is going out over the whole land, for according to what it says on one side, it's talking about the Ten Commandments, the tablets on one side and the other, every thief will be banished. God was saying to the people through the prophet Zechariah, he was saying, I am sending a curse over this land because there's widespread thievery that's happening. Therefore, there's a curse that will go on over the land that prohibits and hinders prosperity. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 17. Cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary of stone. And you say, well, what's that talking about? Well, in an agricultural society, you live off of your land. And so it was common practice in those days when someone wasn't looking to move the stones that marked the boundary so you could get a few feet off of your neighbor and therefore increase your income. And so God is saying, cursed is the man that even begins to move the boundaries to steal from your neighbor, that you bring about a curse. What is a curse? It's the opposite of a blessing. Blessing generates the favor of God. Curses stop the favor of God upon our life. And notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Do you know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then he goes on to mention the wicked, those that practice things. And he includes the word thieves. Nor thieves will inherit the kingdom of God, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, what is a thief? A thief is someone that regularly practices taking something from someone that is not their own. Look what it says in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, he says. But you ask, how do we rob you? He says, in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. In this case, God is addressing a people, and he's telling to a people, hey, a portion of your income I've asked you to give back to me and my things, and you don't give it. So therefore, that portion that belongs to God has become a curse to you. In other words, as you read through the Bible, you will realize that God, because stealing involves taking something, someone's property that is not our own, you'll see throughout Scripture that what God says is when you take something that is not your own and you develop this kingdom of darkness mentality and get a taker's mentality instead of a giver's mentality, then you stop the flow of God's blessing and it starts becoming a curse to you. You take from others, it's cursed. You take from God, it's cursed. And what happens when there's a curse? It means that we struggle harder than ever to get ahead and it seems like we can never prosper.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago, and this has been the first half of his message called Thou Shall Not Steal. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.